Welcome to each and every one of you. We're glad that you're here today. We got a couple of cards. Make sure and fill those out. There's a drawing later next month, I heard. So make sure and get those filled out. Blue one and a yellow one. We've got one for prayer request. And if you're a visitor or a guest with us, we'd love to hear yours too. So please fill that out. And for the blue one, let us know you're here. Those will be gathered right after scripture readings and the other one during with the offering. So God's blessings. We're glad you're here, but please stand and welcome one another. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. But since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a poor and miserable sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Let us
pray together. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We invite your attention to the readings chosen for today. I would remind you that our church has planned these readings so that during the church, the whole year, we cover all of the basic teachings of Scripture. And so it's very valuable that we give attention to these readings. Today, the Old Testament reading is from Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel at the time of their captivity. He talks of their sins and then has a word of hope for them. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." Though these are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both their inquiries and their father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is blessing in it,' so I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle lesson is St. Paul's words to the Galatians, in which he speaks of faith coming. And it's like a slave becoming a member of the family. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and messengers and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And because you our sons. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. The man was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came and saw Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding countryside of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and so he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Here ends the reading of our gospel.
Praise you,
may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from the Epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. You can find that in our Bible in front of you, and if you'd care to follow along, once again, that text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. We are discussing in this sermon series the fivefold functions of the church: worship, witness, word, fellowship, and stewardship. This week we'll discuss witnessing as our focus. It's on our own personal lives as well as the Lord's church, how we as a church witness to our community. I would like to let you know that there is a relationship between last Sunday, as we talked about worship the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, body, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And as we start to think about now the proclamation of our faith, the witnessing of our faith, the sharing of our faith, we start to see that one of the ways in which we can love our neighbor as ourselves is to share this wondrous good news with them. We also would like to just see and to understand that there is a relationship then between all five of these. This week, worship and witness. I'd like to have you turn to this picture, the next one, if I could, our projectionist. Renee? You see the dog? You see the man. What do you think the guy's thinking? He's a little worried, don't you think? He's a little worried that dog's going to take that bone out of his lip and nose. And it probably wasn't the most pleasant to put there in the first place. But he's a bit worried. And he's thinking, as this dog, who's pretty big, he's just thinking it's not going to end well. And when you and I start to think about our witnessing and sharing of our faith, I think that there's a story here for us to see and to understand. A lot of us feel like this man. We're kind of scared that that dog is going to bite us. If we go to share our faith, they're going to say things to us we don't want to hear. We're worried that the dog's going to about growl and bite. We're scared. We're unsure, and we feel as though we may even say the wrong thing. And so as a result, we feel like it ain't going to end well. So we just sit there and kind of wait for something else to happen. I think there's a lot of people that do a whole lot more sharing of their Christian faith than they really realize. I think there's a lot of people who understand that it may not be the easiest thing to put into writing or speaking, but we share our faith in word and in deed. And so as we start to see this picture, and we can go to the next slide if you would, I'd like to have us think about we are called to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. That's what our command is as a church and as individuals. You might say, for the Christian, we get to go. We get to be involved in proclaiming this wondrous good news, the cool things that Jesus Christ has done for us in our life. We get to be his witnesses. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You shall be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria and the outer parts, and even unto the ends of the world. You'll be my witnesses." Those who testify and who get to tell their story about what God has done in their world and life. We persuade others, Paul says, when we are consumers, you could say, of God's love. We're satisfied customers who want to tell, who are even eager to tell people about Jesus. I remember when we first got our new K car, Desiree and I were so proud of that car. It was the thing, the car that we kind of saw in our own mind, that we thought that was going to be just the perfect car for us. And when we had children, that would be really, really cool if we had a Chrysler K car. Not only was it cheap, it also looked kind of good, at least to us then. So when I started to think about it, we actually got the car of one of two, and we liked it so much we were telling everybody about it. And when you start to think about how much we were talking about Chrysler's K car and the merits of owning one and having it on your driveway, I start to think about how often I'm silent when speaking about the opportunities I miss and I don't share my faith in Jesus Christ. Or I miss the opportunity to offer someone forgiveness or a helping hand or love, and to be able to share that genuinely and realistically and to tell them about who my Lord and my Savior is. When I think about this Gerizim, this man who was demon-possessed, so much was he driven by these demons. In his daily life, he didn't even wear clothes, and he was just a wild man, you might say, and he would try to break the chains and cut himself and hurt himself, other scriptures tell us, and he would even be driven out into the wilderness trying to kill him, I guess the demons were. But this man, when Jesus freed him from the shackles of slavery of the demon possession, he stood there and he sat then down at the feet of Jesus and learned all that he could in those few moments that he had with his Lord. And when we start to see his great thankfulness, he wanted to go with Jesus, put aside his entire itinerary for the day, and to be able to say, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, go back to your people and share with them all that God has done. Did he need a seminary degree? Did he have to be a lifelong Christian? No, in that few short moments he had in his encounter with God, God had set him free, and now God said, go and tell. Go and speak of the marvelous things that God has done for you. And so, my friends, that's the thing it is. It's such a simple thing, sharing our faith. It's simply retelling the story of God's story in your life. And when you and I start to see that, we have so much we too should be thankful for. We consider it a privilege to share this good news. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 that one has died for all. And he died for all, thus everyone Jesus did die for. I recently thought of this story about a man in my ministry who could not grasp the depth of God's love. He just couldn't believe that God would love him that much, since he was just simply not that great a man. In fact, he repeatedly told me over and over again, I'm not worthy for God to have done all this for me. I just can't believe that he would do that. And I agreed and I told him, you're right, you don't deserve it. You are unworthy. He was a little taken back by that at first. But I said, it's even worse than that. You see, we're in such a pickle because of our sins and separation from God that we can't even get ourselves out of this jam. We're stuck in the mud, stuck without a way out, drowning in despair, with no hope. We had to be rescued. That is why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reach out to us, to rescue us, to redeem, and to restore us, and to renew our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus did. And he does love you that much. You don't deserve it, and you're right. But the fact of the matter is, God loves you so much that he has given us this good news in Jesus. Paul put it this way, therefore all have died in Christ, should then no longer live for themselves, but rather for him who for their sake died and was raised. Jesus rose from death, overcoming death and the grave and the consequences of sin, overpowering death itself, damnation, the devil, and the grave. Jesus rose victoriously. And his victory, my friends, is your victory. It's an assurance, a guarantee. that God meant that your sins really were forgiven when Jesus rose on Easter morn. Thus we should no longer live for ourselves, Paul says, but rather for him who gave his life for us. The old bracelet, WWJD, should be the filter and the lens that we look at life through. What would Jesus have us to do? How are we to respond in love to a child who's wayward or a coworker? How are we to respond to the situations that we see our life in right now? How are we to respond in the name of Jesus as his ambassador, as his spokesperson? You know, Jesus, how would he respond? Should be our question. You know, Jesus, the man who ate with sinners and tax collectors, who touched and even brought healing to the unclean, the lepers. You know, Jesus, the man who forgave the woman caught in the very act of adultery. You know, Jesus, the man who prayed from the cross for those who had just crucified him and the crowds that had condemned him and ridiculed. You know what he prayed? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Therefore, Paul writes, we regard no one according to the flesh. Human outward appearance, such as the man from Gerasenes that was not even clothed, slept amongst the tombs, not even in houses, was shackled, or the occurrences in our life. Because in God's sight, we're all diamonds in the rough, but we're redeemed diamonds, renewed diamonds, shaped and saved by the Spirit of God and saved by God's grace itself. God sees us not for who we are now, but for what he is doing in Christ in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. He doesn't see our past mistakes or misfortunes or our misfits. I remember Desiree and I when we were talking about, you know, being now 42, almost 43 years in marriage. We both admitted, had we knew each other as little kids, we probably wouldn't have gotten married. Because she said, you were too much of a bully. You always picked on girls. I said, well, I had two sisters. You know, that's just how I related to my sisters. And I thought, she's too smart, always steady. And you start to think about the things that were and are. The things that are between you and God. And you know, you think about the things that God has shaped you for now. Are you the same person now that you were even a year ago or 5 years ago? Hasn't God been at work in your life? Causing you to learn more, having you to pray more, having you to serve him even more deeply? Haven't you seen the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God himself invested in you and in your life? God doesn't see your mistakes or your misfortunes or your misfits. As you and I start to think, one of the many joys that we have in life, and certainly I have in my ministry, is seeing people grow in their faith and how their faith spills out into their everyday life. I've seen the unteachable become actual teachers of the faith. I've seen the unreachable become ambassadors and proclaimers, spokesmen for their Lord and Savior. I've seen the greedy become generous and the jealous become lovers not of self, but of their neighbors and of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've seen people's lives who had no hope become filled with a heavenly hope and who were so joyous and filled with that hope that they became dispensers of hope itself, a hope that's resting securely in Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, and the new has arrived. Isn't that how it is in your life? In Christ, we're a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has arrived. And actually, the Greek says that it's arrived, but it's still arriving. So it's not a one-drop delivery, but it's a constant daily delivery of God's grace and mercy and how He works in our life. So that God is constantly making us His new creation. So be patient with me. Be patient with her. Be patient with him. For God's not finished yet. Therefore, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us to be reconciled unto God on behalf of Christ Jesus. What's our calling? It's to be an ambassador. At the bedside of a brother or sister who's sick, helping someone else to maybe prepare to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, telling them that Jesus really will be with them, assuring them that Jesus is with them, but He knows the way. He will tell you the truth and has told you the truth about the promises of life everlasting and will soon be opening that door for them. You're an ambassador telling someone who's so plagued by their sins and shortcomings, their unworthiness, that they need to be assured again that God still does and can love them and will even forgive them. What a privilege it is for you and me to be God's persuaders, God's proclaimers, God's goers, God's tellers, God's sharers, witnesses, ambassadors who speak at the command and calling of God in the name of Christ, telling the world that they are reconciled to God. We are among the most privileged people of the entire world. We get to share God's good news with people who simply need to hear it and who don't understand it. And when you and I understand what we have, who wouldn't want to be loved? Who wouldn't want to be forgiven? Who wouldn't want to have life everlasting? Who wouldn't want to spend it in eternity where there's no more sickness, suffering, or death? Who wouldn't want what we have? And God calls you, and He calls me. He calls me as pastor and you as people. He wants you as leaders and as laymen to be His witnesses and His ambassadors, to go and to make disciples, to be His witnesses, and to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. Because in so doing, we are actually also worshiping the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, body, and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. join together as we make confession of the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thankfulness and prayers of thanks for those who were used by you to bring us into the faith. We thank you for their witness and their testimony and the working of your Holy Spirit to engender and create faith in our heart and life. We thank you, O Lord, and ask that you would move us to be ones who would be such people who live their life in such a way that they're able to proclaim, and people are drawn to them to be able to hear and to listen and wonder and want what they have. Lord, may you bless each and every one of us individually and collectively as a congregation, as we seek opportunities to reach out and to share this wonderful good news, like the Gerizim, to be able to go and tell others, an entire city and countryside that he was able to share this news with, telling them simply what God had done. Help us to be such a people that we simply will tell others what you have done in our life and world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would now hear the prayers that are requested from the congregation this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. We pray for an end to the opioid crisis in our country and our community, and that people get help when needed. We pray for Rob, now that he is home and doing well from his surgery. We pray for Bruce, his brother who was taken off life support. We pray for Debbie, for God's healing for her shoulder surgery and health. We pray for Georgia for comfort and strength from COPD. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus, we also give you thanks for the grace and the mercies that in the marriage of Rory and Livia, Nagy, Shelby, and we ask, O Lord, that you would bring blessing to them all the days of their life. Be also with our brothers and sisters, Glenn, as well as Len, and also Angela Gabriel, who is attending to her parents. Be with Anne and be with Faye, who are also hospitalized, and we seek your blessing to be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we ask that you would hear all those requests for all the prayers that have been spoken and unspoken, and bring your answer to bear in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he is betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped and given thanks, he gave them this cup, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring each of you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good afternoon.
Announcements.
So Trinity Summer VBS Roar was last week. Thanks to all the people that participated. Apparently it was a great success. I was out of town. Campus was full and it was buzzing around here. I know there's people in here that took their time to volunteer and to lead programs, and so thank you. We appreciate that. The very best announcement is that immediately following this service, there is a special voters assembly, and immediately following next week's service, there is a voters assembly. My tenure as president is about to end, so I decided to have lots of meetings. But today's meeting is to present the preliminary draft budget for what we're working on for the next 2 years, to give you what our priorities are, what our challenges are, and ask for your prayers and contemplations on where we are at in the process. The 30th will be for elections for Leadership Council and the Elders Ministry team, as well as approving a budget. They will start immediately after this service, as soon as we can get things turned around. And finally, more importantly, next week is the I cannot find what time it is. Is it immediately? Is it the pieces? Oh, it's after each service. I'm sorry, I don't have all the details. Next week, join Peace and the Comfort Dog Ministry team as we celebrate the 1 year anniversary of Peace's Comfort Dog vesting here at Trinity and her 2.5 year birthday. Apparently, her actual birthday is on Christmas Eve. Please join us after any worship service for a snack and drink in Fellowship Hall and celebrate the blessing this ministry has been in allowing us to reach people in need in our community. And it has really been truly a magnificent outreach ministry. But don't forget after the 11 o'clock that you have to come back here to my meeting. So thank you.
Thank you, Ted. We are so blessed with so many good leaders and faithful ones. Thank you, Ted, for your ministry and service in our midst over these past years. And Mary, thank you for washing my robes. I would like to make a very quick announcement. I thank you for your diligence or allowing me to have a little bit of time to sit down during this service. I've done that with each of them during certain parts where I could. It was so, because I have scheduled a knee surgery, a knee replacement. And however, this past midweek, I decided to look up at my new roof and ended up hitting a slick spot on my patio and lit on the concrete on the hip and the knee that I'm going to have surgery on. So in any case, it's a little stiff and a little sore, but I also then had whiplash hit my head on the back of the bricks, also on the wall. But it's okay. The wall's still there, so we're thankful for that. And I just want to say that God in his mercy, you think so much because you've got everything going this way or that way, and you've got your plans. But you know, all of life could change in a moment like that, with our feet out from underneath us. But by God's grace, we are spared many of those unfortunate things. And things that even do happen could even be worse. So by his grace, and his, I'm thankful, and I want to share that with you just to let you know that God is gracious and merciful. Once again, for those that took part in VBS, thank you. Please stay for voters meeting, and also I'd just like to say, please stand and join us for our final hymn, and have a blessed week in the Lord as you share your faith.